nothing is new under the sun. And I feel like that is especially true on Twitter, where the same topics get recycled every few months.
Okay.
And it's true on Christian Twitter. It's true on pagan Twitter, which is what I'm choosing to call non-Christian Twitter. So recently, the topic du jour was, is it okay to hate children? Is it okay to wish that an entire group of the population did not exist and that you never had to encounter them in any places that you happen to be? And I have to say, this is definitely one of the saddest, most boring topics that comes up. Like, I understand why people who hate children can't, like, just take a 5-second look in the mirror and realize that it's not actually okay to dislike an entire group of people. Like, could you go on Twitter and be like, I will die on this hill? It's actually okay to hate Cubans or something. You know, like, pick anybody. And it's just sad. It's so sad to me. And I would like it if we stop talking about it forever and we shame these people back to the holes where they came from. And then there's, like, I think what gets me the most is that the people who, like, I don't know, they want to feel cool, or it's like, I have kids and I agree with you that they can be so annoying. Like, okay, yes, exactly. Matthew's making obscene gestures into the camera. Yes, exactly. Like, oh, I have kids, but I also agree they shouldn't be in bars. Okay. Like,
quick clarification. It was a dismissive gesture, not an obscene gesture.
Because there's, like, there's two conversations, right? There's the whole, what started it is this guy, I guess, standing outside of a bar. It was, like, pet friendly, child free, or something like that. Okay, you're lucky. I know exactly where I was in a conversation about people who hate children. Just to get everyone caught up, we had a small issue that we had to resolve here. Our Methodist interns have been slacking, to say the least. Honestly, I think we're going to have to let some of them go. Okay, so there's two issues.
They're 37 by this point, so I think we
can. Yeah. There's two issues that are, like, circulating with the like, this debate about hating children. One is, like, you know, kids in certain spaces, you know, it should kids be allowed in bars? But then the other one is just, like, it's okay not to like children at all. Mm-hmm. Not just like, oh, I wish a child wasn't screaming next to me on an airplane. And I have to say, the whole, like, it's okay to not like kids crowd is needs to be ashamed of themselves. They just keep that. I think you said it best. You're like, some things you just got to keep on the inside, you know? If you hate a whole group of people, you might want to just keep that to yourself. That actually never ends up looking good for you.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has horrible opinions. You know, that's kind of a...
Yeah, absolutely. That's the basis of this podcast. We're pretty open about
that. Like, but there's some horrible opinions where it's like, you know, if you don't like casting crowns, you can talk about that and it's funny because who cares? But, like, there's some horrible opinions that you just...
Right.
There's no benefit to sharing them.
Right, right.
I'm a little bit more cynical than you.
I agree.
To me, this smelled a little bit like content farming of...
Oh.
Like, I don't know that I really...
Yes, you are absolutely right. I really even
believed her that much. What I read was, kids are not really my thing, but I'm going to ramp this up to 11
mm-hmm.
to get some engagement. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm willing to die on this hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved Hannah Anderson's thread, of course. You know, talk about gurus. She's just like, oh, there's a topic that I could write a thread about and come at it at an angle that no one's talked about yet. Okay, let me do that for you over my morning coffee. And it was basically, I think that the most poignant part of it was when she was talking about how, like, the child in us never really goes away. And so it's like, when you say you dislike children, there's like a part of yourself that you dislike, like that vulnerable, dependent part. And I was just like, oh man, that is an incredible insight. Like, that it's not necessarily that people dislike the noise or like the lack of control. It's like they hate that mirror of vulnerability and dependence, and they, you know, that they see themselves in mm-hmm. that, because we hate those in our characteristics in our society, right? We hate weakness, and like, independence is like the key to life. Like, if you can take care of yourself, then you're set. So kids show us, you know, a different way.
Well, if you'll allow me to put on my Eric Erickson child development hat for a moment, I do think that maybe kind of somewhat in line with what she's saying. I think if maybe we didn't feel safe as a child.
Yeah.
Maybe that brings up some things of like, well, why do I have to coddle everybody else's kids when nobody was there for me? Kind of thing.
Right. Right. Or like, I've experienced this too as a parent. When you give your kids a certain amount of leeway that you weren't given.
Mm-hmm.
Leeway is not maybe the best term, because that implies like misbehavior. But, you know, when you give your kids, this is a personal example for me, like giving my kids space to just be in their feelings, mm-hmm. even if it's like a bad mood or whatever. Sometimes I can be resentful of that. And it's not, it's just because I know that's because I wasn't given that space. I didn't have that freedom to just be in a bad mood because I was in a bad mood. It was always like, you know, why aren't you happy today? I don't know, because I'm 13. Why do I have to be happy? Because you're a pastor's
daughter, Casey.
You know, so if you offer those things to kids that maybe you weren't given, it can be hard and you could resent it. And as parents, you know, we want to work through those hard feelings, but some rando on the street, like, why would they want to work through that for someone else, like for the benefit of someone else's children?
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yeah. I don't know.
How many days until this circles back around?
Well, we got to go through
90 or less.
Well, we got to go through a full circle of David raped Bathsheba again. So it's been six right. months.
And so we got, did David rape Bathsheba, yoga pants?
Can you call yourself a Christian, I mean, if you vote for...
Oh, that'll be going around this year. Yeah. Who? I mean, anybody.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be a man or a woman?
Yeah. Well, we've mentioned this before, but when you get to a certain age as a parent, it becomes, or as a, yeah, it just becomes easier to, you know, foster your children's dreams than deal with your own fading dreams. So maybe people who don't have...
There's still time for you. It's too late for me, but there's still time for you.
So maybe people who don't have kids are just struggling because they don't have that option.
All they have is their own failures staring them in the face.
Yes, whereas you and I can hide behind the facade of, there's no time for my dreams, I must save my children. as we nail ourselves to the cross.
Right, right. I love that. I love that take.
You know, I mean, we speak the truth here.
Absolutely. All right, you have something on your
mind. I also have something on my shirt.
That I may or may not have anything to say about.
Have I ever successfully drank anything on this podcast without spilling it down the front of my shirt?
Have you considered using a straw? Did I send... I don't think I sent you that video I saw of the girl who uses a special straw for... It's like a skincare straw.
To do what?
I didn't send you this. Probably not, because I had to send it to Danny with my most vile comment.
What does she use the straw
for? So she has a straw that's like curved up and the hole is like it's not like a regular
I'm loving every part
it's
of this.
It's not a regular straw. The hole's like on the wall of the straw. So she sips it like that so that she doesn't purse her lips around a straw too often to make wrinkles around her mouth. That's a special skincare straw.
Do I have to break out an obscene gesture for this too? Because I feel like it deserves it.
I mean, it made me want to immediately go buy a pack of cigarettes watching that video. we're worried about drinking from a straw that it's going to give us mouth wrinkles.
Is she married and how does this affect her?
Right? I'm sorry, honey. I can't do that because of the wrinkles. Oh my
gosh. Not even that, but just like regular kissing. Like, does she regular kiss her husband? That's an FSBT term,
right.
Regular
kissing.
I mean,
any sort of... any sort of, like, does she find herself stopping laughing? Or, like, how do you function in your life if you can't even, like, do normal things without worrying about how it's going to affect your face? Also, what's the end goal here?
Is the other tip of the straw closed? Because, like, does the water go shooting out the regular tip if she doesn't suck it all through the side? That's a phrase.
I don't know.
Because that was, like, a game when we were kids, like, where you put your mouth, like, over, like, sideways over the tip of the straw and you suck it up and it shoots it sideways to the person beside you. Is that what she's doing?
I have no idea. Okay. I will find the video and I'll send it to you and you'll have to suffer through it. When I send it to Danny, he's like, yeah, you don't have mouth wrinkles because you're 24. This is perfect.
Well, I mean, it's a moot point because I've always said that straws are ableist, so...
Okay, let's talk about women's sports.
Yeah. Women's sports.
That's what we're here
women's
for,
sports.
Right?
This is it. This is not like a joke thing. This is I'm genuinely curious about this, and I wanted to talk to you about it because
okay,
A, you're a woman, but B, you're not a sports fan. Men or women's sports. Like, you're just like at best a casual sports fan.
Right.
So my question is this, because women's...
So you think I'm going to be neutral-ish.
Kind of, you know. I mean, I guess as best anyone could be on something like this. So women's sports have really been in the consciousness here with, like, the Women's Final Four and the WNBA draft.
Right, because Jason Sudeikis made us all aware that women were playing sports.
I'm wearing underneath this hoodie, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says I talk to women. So which I'm doing right now. So my question
You're
is
so brave.
I am. My question is this, like, and this is, I'm not, there's no ulterior motive for this. It's just, I'm just genuinely curious because I don't know the answer of what is the ceiling okay. for women's sports? And what I mean by that is, like, you know, we throw around the words equality. Like, is it possible? Is it realistic? I don't know. Could women's sports and men's sports be the same level of popularity? I don't know. Hmm. But I'm really curious about that because, you know, obviously kind of my life in a lot of ways revolves around women's sports because my daughters play sports.
Right.
But I'm also, you know, I guess objective enough to say, well, you know, if you're not emotionally connected to the women playing sports, I mean, it's okay to admit, like, sometimes it's a little harder to get into it if they're not running as fast or jumping as high.
Right.
So I don't know, like, what is the ceiling for women's sports? What do you think?
I think the problem is that women's sports are being compared to men's sports.
Okay.
And women aren't being compared to women in their own thing. So it's like, you're saying, like, running faster, jumping higher. Well, like, okay. But why do they have to run as fast as men or jump as high as men? Why can't they have their own levels that they're trying to meet? Why do they have to be trying to meet the levels of men? Right?
Yeah.
So, and this doesn't really apply to other professions, right? Because two surgeons, a man and a woman, can be both completely equal in how they perform that job, right? Because there's not necessarily, there is a physicality to it, but not based on, like, strength or stamina. But, like, women's and men's bodies are different and they perform differently. So it's always going to be different, right? The goal can't be for women to run as fast as men or for whatever. Like, I feel like the goal has to be for women to perform to their, to what is, like, the top performance for a woman.
Yeah, I don't know how to uncouple that, though, because there's always going to be the casual fan that compares them, you know, just not even,
well, yeah.
I mean, just...
Well, not just casual fan, yeah. No, I totally agree with you, because we're, you know, we've always been focused on men's sports, so I don't really know that there's a solution, mm-hmm. but I do think that comparing the two is not it, and not, like, trying to be like, well, this just isn't as exciting, you know, because they're not doing as cool a stuff or as hard, or it's like, well, maybe it is exciting if you would think about the fact that this is a different thing. Like, mm-hmm. when I watch women play sports as a woman, I'm like, you are incredible. Like, what you are doing with your body, you could be on your you could be on your period right now doing all this stuff. I don't know. And that's just, like, mind-blowing. So maybe it's different for you as a man watching women. But, like, if I'm watching women's sports, I'm just, like, blown away at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's incredible. It's inspiring. It's like, wow.
I think the WNBA has probably done it about as smart as you could do it, because they try to stay away from the NBA footprint, and they start their season after mm-hmm. the NBA finals have begun, right. So that, like, there's no overlap there of, like, as soon as the NBA, you know, finals is over, like, WNBA starts or somewhere in there. It's, like, it's really close. I don't know. And another thing I wonder too is, like, where does the audience need to come from? Like, is it ever okay to say, like, men are just going to be more focused on men's sports and women are going to be more focused on women's sports? Like, is that kind of where we're going?
I think that people should feel the freedom to be interested in whatever they are interested in when it comes to something very low stakes, like, well, what in my opinion, low stakes mm-hmm. enjoyment like sports, right?
Yeah.
It's not like reading, where if you're going to be a reader, like, yes, read the opinions of more than just your kind. Mm-hmm. You know, read books by women if you're a man. Like, hey, open your mind to... But I do think it would be wise if men would, like, maybe take a minute and evaluate, like, why am I disinterested in watching women play sports as much as I am in what, or like not as interested as I am in watching men play sports? But I think the audience can just come from the people who enjoy it, and that's okay. I feel like trying to make it about something to prove something, like, is that really what we want? Is that what we like? Do we want that for the athletes, that people are just like watching them to prove a point, or, you know,
I don't know.
That was a very, very genuine shrug.
Yeah.
I'm really curious, because we have a women's soccer team here that I feel like are pretty popular, but I don't know, like, the comparison. So, like, they play in the same place as the men. Is it a similar audience? Is it less? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine running back and forth on the field, just back and forth and back and forth. That's incredible, no matter who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I said this one time, like, when my kid was first, my oldest was first really getting serious into it, but, like, the difference, like, at least in the high school level of girls and boys basketball, is that the boys become much more physical and the girls kind of mm-hmm. drift away from being physical. And at one point I told her, mm-hmm. like, hey, hear what I'm saying here. Like, do not play like those girls. Like, I want you to play like the boys, like be physical, be aggressive. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I do think sometimes she gets, cause she watches men's and women's sports. And I do think sometimes she gets frustrated, like, when she sees, you know, women shying away from being aggressive, or like high school girls mm-hmm. shying away from, like, the contact. I think that mm-hmm. annoys her.
I mean, that's a whole thing. That's like, that's not just about sports though, right? That comes with, like, years of being told what it means to be a female, right? Mm-hmm. That's not just like, how do I shut off that part of what's being told to me by society and my parents and my church just because I'm on a basketball court, yeah. You know, like, where I'm being told, you know, if you're aggressive, you're a bitch.
Yeah.
But then, oh, I'm supposed to be aggressive out here, and now I have to, whereas men can be aggressive anywhere and it's mostly fine. So.
Yeah. I have, like, a whole, this is a little window into what Matthew's really like.
I just want to pause and say you're a great sports dad.
Oh, thank you.
You're a great sports dad.
Why do you say that? I need to know why.
Because you're encouraging your daughter to do things that are outside of maybe what is expected, which is important. It's important that she hears that encouragement from you and not just from a coach that wants her to win. You know, because coming from you, even if she couldn't articulate it now, she knows that it's more than just about, like, being a good player. It's like, this is for like your development as a person. So
I appreciate that.
Sure.
One of the things I've done the last few years is I work with other girls who are not my kid, and we talk a lot about contact, and, like, I have, like, a whole speech that I have to give them of just kind of almost eerily close to what you were saying, just about how, like, girls' brains work of, you know, like, mm-hmm. I talked to them about, like, you know, if we were passing each other in the hall and we accidentally bumped elbows, like, you're just going to immediately apologize and veer off to the side. Right. And, like, that's kind of what it means to be a girl, like, in the public space, and you have to figure out how to turn that off and override that when you get on when you get on the court. And
And also in all of life, like, you don't have to apologize for existing.
No, but I mean, like, there is, like, a certain, like a safety.
No, I know what you're saying.
Girls have to be a little bit more aware of, like, their personal space. And
yes, absolutely.
And in basketball, like, you kind of have to give yourself permission to be physical. Like, there's a whole sports psychology part of that we have to talk about. Of, you know, you can still be who you are outside on the court, but when you step on here, this game doesn't work that way. Like, you have to get low and get your butt into somebody and push them out of the way.
Yeah. I think something that would, like, maybe also help men enjoy women's sports more is if they could, like, be honest about their own abilities. So, like, maybe don't compare, like, women's tennis or basketball to men's, but just think about, like, all of these women could destroy you in what they're playing. And that's amazing, you know? Like, that like, viral Serena Williams tweet. It was, like, some ridiculous number of men thought that they could score a point on Serena Williams in tennis. And it was, like, I don't know. And the guy tweeted, like, about, you know, he gets ready to play and she serves and the ball goes cleanly through his skull or whatever. Anyways. I hope we've given people something to think about.
Well, just in case my daughter listens to this podcast, I don't think she does, but just so she knows, I can still take her.
Well, yeah, for now, that's definitely going to change. You're getting older. She's, like, moving into her warp speed. I mean, it's just, it's fun. Danny always tells George, I will always be stronger than you. It's like, oh, you won't? Teenage George, please.
My dad, you know, the whole dad versus son thing. You know, he would brag pretty loud that he could still out wrestle me or outrun me. And then there was, like, this period where I just kind of came to in my 30s and realized he hasn't said anything in a long time. And that's when I realized, like, oh yeah, I could, he knows that I could clearly take him now.
You could definitely take your dad.
Yeah, I read about, like, when I hit my early to mid 30s and he was aging into his 60s, it's like, okay, yeah, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You good, or do you want? Do you have anything else?
No, that's good. That was a good. That was
to say.
That was our semi-serious segment that we do every 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, we have more. We have more. We're getting into marriage later.
I apologize to the listeners. I'll break out the obscene hand gestures to balance it out.
Okay. So, since we recorded last, the Stronger Men's Conference happened, or maybe it happened before, but then, like, the videos started circulating, and I still haven't watched any of the videos because I don't want to, but John Hendricks asked, what would the women's version of the conference be called? And there is another conference that's current, but I was thinking this already happened. It was called Girls of Grace. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Girls of Grace, right? It already happened.
I don't remember anything about it, but that does
but ring a bell. There's a current women's conference that's going on, and it is called, hold on, I'm pulling up, Extraordinary Women. And you'll just never guess the biggest picture on the Extraordinary Women's Conference flyer is. Because it's Tim Tebow.
It's perfect.
Noted extraordinary woman, Tim Tebow. And why?
Well, first of all, let's not bury the lead. Also appearing is my mother, Shonda Pierce. So, yeah. You know, we could pick this apart and say, why Tim Tebow? But I'm going the other way. Shocker. And I think that Tim Tebow, as a speaker at a women's conference, is absolutely delightful for several reasons. First of all, the women are going to get horny for Tim Tebow. So they're going to go home and have medium hot sex with their husbands after this is over. I also love Tim Tebow because he's just going to make everyone feel great about themselves. Like, we were talking about this with...
Which also makes women
absolutely
horny.
Absolutely. It's all connected. He's, you know, it's not Tim Tebow coming up there to tell them this is what you should do. It's Tim Tebow coming up there, and you guys are great, and I just wanted to say that God has a plan for all of you because all of you are so special and beautiful and precious, and God just loves every single one of you, and I'm just so grateful to be here, and I'm just amazed at the courage and bravery and intelligence of every woman here, and I just want to meet all of you guys and just tell you that there's a special purpose and plan for your life, and I'm just so happy to just share just a single moment of it with you. Perfect. Perfect.
And then sounds we got to... great.
Go ahead.
It is so weird though, right? It's so weird though, right? That the headliner of a women's conference is a man. Like, I wish I could be a fly on the wall of this round table where they were like, who should we have? You know, as the main speaker.
Here we go.
Of this,
I'll tell you what it sounded like. How do we sell tickets? Let's get Tim Tebow. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So we also talked about like, what would the flip version of this be? So like, what is a woman you could get to headline a men's conference that is like unproblematic and just going to make everybody feel great? Is it Dolly Parton?
Yeah. That's it. That's the only one. In the Christian sphere. Yeah, Dolly, maybe.
I can't do Dolly's voice. You just have to do it for us. Do Dolly Parton exhorting a stadium full of men.
I can't do that. I'll work on it, though.
Oh, honey. I can't go that high.
Honeybee. Oh gosh, women, we don't even get our own only women conferences. We still have to have a man up there telling us we're special and beautiful.
Okay, but I'm gonna push back. Would you rather go to a women's conference where Tim Tebow is the headliner, or would you rather go to a women's conference where Ann Voskamp is the headliner?
Do I have to go to either one? Can I just not go to a women's conference ever?
I'm going to say, based on what I know about you, there is a very high percentage of women speakers that you would rather hear Tim Tebow than the women speakers. Like Christine Kane. Would you rather hear Tim Tebow or Christine Kane?
It might actually
be the same one because Christine Kane's just going to plagiarize Tim Tebow's speech anyway. So
is she a plagiarizer?
She like her, yeah, her book. Well, let's put it this way. Her book lifted big sections from another book.
Amazing.
And then they had like some kind of out of court settlement, I think. But, you know, that raises the other question of I think I tweeted about this. She was in an impossible situation because did she admit that her team ghostwrote the book? Like, what does she do there? Does she blame plagiarism on her team? Because if she does that, then she's admitting she didn't write it. So.
Right. I can't get into this now. I already have like several things under the surface making me a little bit grumpy today. And thinking about people making money for books that they don't write. I can't. I cannot go there today.
Tim Tebow or Liza Turkhurst? Tim Tebow or... I don't know. I don't know. I'd rather go listen to Dolly Parton than A Great Number of Men.
Yeah, speakers. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Is she going to be wearing the cowgirl outfit?
I think that's all she wears, right? She only ever wears a cowgirl outfit.
No, we're talking about the Dallas cowgirl outfit from the halftime show.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys girl. Gosh, that is such in like my childhood consciousness that like those Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders were always being talked about as like,
oh yeah,
hussies.
Oh yeah.
Always. I mean, didn't every team have cheerleaders? There's something about that.
Yeah.
That slutty cowgirl that really got people going.
No comment. We can just move on.
What's that website?
What in the world are you talking about?
The costume website that you get emails from? They're listening right now. It's going to be in your email later. It's going to be like, giddy up, cowboy. Check out this new addition to our store. Yeehaw!
I don't think anything could ever top. Let's make Easter sexy again. That was my favorite one that I've gotten. Yes.
Okay. Speaking of sexy, Becca and Curtis are getting married soon. Really soon.
Yes.
And in lieu of us being there, we're going to just flood them with bad advice and maybe some good advice too at the end if Matthew will let me get serious. But we opened this up to the listeners and we got a few. How do you want to do this? You want to do theirs first and then do ours, or just go back and forth?
No, we can read the listeners and then we'll talk about ours. That's fine.
Okay. I'm going to read Canada Laura's because she's got a lot.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Here we go. Horrible advice for Becca. Absolutely go to bed furious every night, especially if nothing happened. This builds mystery and keeps the spark alive. Assume the worst. Did your spouse accidentally annoy you? No, they didn't. It was definitely on purpose. Everything they do is maliciously planned to irritate you. React accordingly so they know you're paying attention and care. There are definitely days of the month. There are definitely days of the month, I believe, that Danny exists just to annoy me. Okay. Roll your eyes at everything they say, even if it's brilliant and you completely agree. Also, sigh a lot. I'm sorry to say that I do take that advice regularly. This is active listening. Your spouse will feel seen and heard. Okay, I love this.
Very good. Very good.
If you make a snack, make only enough for you. You don't want to train your spouse to beg for food. They must be self-sufficient. Also, never accept a snack from your spouse. This is how you defeat the patriarchy. Thoughtfulness is just a guise for enabling. I feel like Canada Laura could write a book. Based on those things.
I feel like that's she's making a play to co-author the Liturgy of PMS with you.
I think she's been reading Reddit relationship advice threads. Cause that they definitely, yeah. All right.
What was the Ron Swanson quote? Teach a man to fish. Or don't. Fishing's not that hard. That's what made me think of it. He's talking about the snacks.
I love it. All right, your turn.
All right, let's see. I'm going to read... this is from Leah.
Okay.
My marriage advice. Remember, marriage is really hard. Like, really hard. It's going to make you feel physically sick 24/7. You will hate your spouse so much. But isn't that the point? For marriage to be a sort of crucifixion or whatever? So yeah, make sure if you're ever enjoying yourself to check that and figure out a way where you can immediately start questioning any joy or lightheartedness and gaslight yourself into being selfless to the point of perpetual burnout. Only then are you really like Jesus.
Leah is beautiful. Coming hard for the Christian yep. marriage advisors. Like, she's not messing around.
I will say, quick point of contention, Leah, my youth pastor did say, if you gaslight yourself, it won't be as special when your spouse gaslights you. Just a small quibble there, but otherwise very solid advice.
Okay. I have advice from Ohio Laura. Thank you to the Lauras for contributing.
Everybody who responded, their name starts with an L.
That's what amazing. Does it mean? Okay. When you both wake up every morning, each of you should name at least 3 flaws that your spouse has. Then you will know what you need to work on to become a better person and remind your spouse all that you are overlooking to love them anyway.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, goodness.
I love that.
It's just... Okay. What's your bad advice? I thought I could just open up any number of Christian marriage books and read straight from them. And that would be okay, my
just
bad
the fact
advice.
That you mentioned marriage books, Sheila Gore alerted like a hound dog staring at a bush. Okay, I will preface this by saying this is not very nice of Becca to make us do this because we're going to clean this up a little bit because normally we just make a bunch of sex jokes, but because we know Becca and we know Curtis a little bit and like them both, we'll try to make this not be super weird. So
oh.
I'm going to start okay. by saying Becca and Curtis.
Okay.
Make a backup plan.
Okay.
Okay. It seems like you like each other now, and you probably do, but always just have like that one person in the back of your mind of like, you know, if this does fall apart, like 30% chance I can still pick them up as a remarriage option. I mean, I just feel like that's just keep a backup plan. That's called being prepared. You know, put them in the Dave Ramsey envelope of your heart and just off to the side. Mm. Of... And if your backup plan gets married,
Dave
just
Ramsey
quietly and discreetly find another backup plan. Just kind of keep them on the back burner just as a friend. And, you know, who's to say? Maybe your spouse gets eaten by a shark at some point. So, you know, you don't want to have to... You don't want to start from scratch, is my point.
You never know. You never know. It could happen. Okay. Yours are going to be better than mine. But on your wedding night, ask your spouse how they feel about polyamory. Just, I feel like it's a good time to talk about it. You know? Just... Find
you know,
out where they
Casey,
stand.
We've got like a like an 18-month window to completely make fun of polyamory before like it becomes a cult, like before we get canceled for it.
Right, I know.
Not to mention, polyamory is ableist. That's another thing we have to work through. I'll stop doing that joke at some point, but it won't be today. All right. Next bad marriage advice, Becca and Curtis, always make each other guess how the other one is feeling.
Yes.
What the other one wants.
Mm-hmm.
you never want to come out and tell them what you want. Because here's the key. If they really loved you, they would know.
They would know. Yeah. It's true.
They would know.
They would know.
Make them guess. You can drop little hints. Spouses love it when you drop little hints, you know, that only you are aware of. And that way, if they don't pick up the hints, you can helpfully go back later and say, well, I did this, this, and this. You didn't realize? Make them guess. Make them guess.
That's a really good one. I actually personally did follow that for several years.
Guilty.
Okay. When they ask if something looks good on them, you just nod and go, mm-hmm. Just like that. It's perfect. Mm-hmm.
Can you say it's fine?
Yeah. If you want to add a little bit extra, you can say it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, when you graduate to the level of when your spouse tries something on and you just flat out tell them, no, I don't like the way that looks.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's master level right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Becca and Curtis, don't ever forget that the important thing in marriage is to win. Is to win.
Yes.
This is the person you are spending the rest of your life with. You will never have another rival like this person. This is you are locked in a competition, one versus one, for the rest of your life. And you need to win. You cannot let this person get ahead on the tally. You must maintain the power by winning. You need to be in the lead because you don't ever want to feel at a deficit with them. You always want to feel like you have the upper hand.
Yes.
So no matter what kind of scorched earth it takes, you have to win.
This is beautiful. This is truly bad advice. This is next level bad advice. My next thing is that you should definitely find a way to spend more money than you make. Like, you're going to have a double income, no kid situation for a little bit. So that's the perfect time to find places where you can spend more money than you're making. Nothing adds intensity of feeling like that to a marriage. Just always be spending. That's my advice.
Becca and Curtis, when you talk about true intimacy, it means forsaking all others, and that extends into anything else that brings you joy. What I tell you is make your spouse your only source of happiness. And you're going to say, isn't that pressure to put on them? Yes.
Yeah, they need it.
Yes, it is.
You should feel that pressure.
That's what forms diamonds, is pressure.
Yes. Yes.
Make your spouse your only source of happiness. And that way, if you're ever in a bad mood, hey, mystery solved. It's their fault. They're not making you happy. Casey is nodding sagely.
Never, under any circumstances, talk about sex. Never. Just do it. Don't talk about it. Just do it. That's all I got, by the way. I'm sure you have like seven more.
Not really. I got one more. It goes on for a little while, but I've just got one more. Becca and Curtis, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So you must do with your spouse. Always test them. Always ask your spouse questions to test them. Would you love me if I stopped showering? Would you love me if... Would you still love me if I gained 200 pounds? Would you love me if I became a Scientologist? Would you love me if I was Nicolas Cage? And my favorite one that I ever heard of, I don't know, this is like textbook borderline personality disorder, crazy woman talk, but a wife allegedly asked her husband, would you still love me if I was a man? What is the correct answer to that? The correct answer is don't answer that question.
Was Mark Driscoll's wife. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
That was incredibly bad advice. That's not like one for the books. Those were just, wow. It's almost as if we have, between the two of us, 40 years of experience of making horrible decisions to learn from.
Who's to say?
Okay. Do you have any real advice, or did you only come with bad advice?
You can reverse engineer the bad advice. Yeah. I will say one thing that Becca's been a part of the show for a long time. Really long time. This show's started in the 1950s. And she is one of our favorite people. Yes. We wish her nothing but the best. We like Curtis a lot. We don't tag Curtis. We don't try to bring him too far into the show because some people have real jobs and maybe don't want to be tagged by Fun Sexy Bible Time. Roll Tide.
Crazy.
We just are so happy for you. We sincerely wish you all of the good things. And if I had one brief piece of good marriage advice for both of you guys, it would be to just tell the other person what you want. Tell the other person what you feel, tell what you're thinking. Say, I don't like this because this. Or say, I need this because this. And it's super broad, but that I know there's something in newlyweds that make them feel like they shouldn't say that. And you will bypass a lot of grief to just say, hey, like, I need you to spend time with me now because of this. Or like, hey, I need for us to, you know, have some intimacy because I'm feeling this.
Now.
Yeah. You know, or I feel sad because of this.
Even if you don't know the root of the things that you're expressing, if you can just get it out of your head, you know, then your spouse is there to help you. Like, they're there to support you. So even if it's just like, I'm sad and I don't know why, you know, that's like, say it. Even if you can't like give them an explanation, or I need to spend time with you. Even if we just spent the last 3 full days together. Like, it just say it. Get it out. That's great advice. I think mine, and I've actually been thinking seriously about this for a while, because the marriage advice circuit, you know, on Instagram and Twitter. I think my biggest thing is that you're two individuals who are unlike a pairing of any other two individuals in a lot of ways. And, like, you guys have to figure out together, like, you do you. Like, there's going to be so many people, and their advice comes from their experiences, which is great. But it might not help you because you're different. So, personally, I feel like one of the best things Danny did, was just start not listening to advice, not listening to these very generalized you know, wide sweeping tips and you should be doing this and make sure you're getting out this much and this much time together and no TV in the bedroom. And I mean, just what, like, that's very specific, but there's so many things out there. It's like, if you want this, you have to do this. If you want to have a strong marriage, you have to be doing this.
Like, no affairs. Like, oh, weird.
But I think you're going to be so much better off if you instead of spending that energy, like, going out looking, it's like going back to what you said. Spend that energy talking to each other, telling each other what you're feeling, you need, and yeah, you do you. That's my very profound things. And I actually do have another one that goes with what you said. So if they didn't want to take the time to reverse engineer all your bad tips, to enjoy things separately, to have things that, like, don't be threatened by having different interests that have nothing to do with one another. It's really okay. Yeah, that's it.
Be threatened by other things, like your random insecurities.
Yeah, by just how hot everyone else is. That kicks in really good in your 40s. So you guys have time.
Yeah.
All right. Congrats to Becca and Curtis.
Absolutely.
We wish you all the happiness.
Absolutely.
You know what they're probably going to spend their honeymoon doing?
Listening to this episode.
Women's sports. Watching women's sports. I feel like they're probably so much wiser than we were when we got married, probably, because, I mean, I was 19 when I got married. What were you, 21, 22?
23, yeah.
Okay, same thing, basically. We were both just babies, basically. So they're a little further along than us. They might, I mean, they'll have their own struggles, like, you know, you've been living on your own as an adult for several years, and then all of a sudden you have to live with a new adult. That might be hard, but.
Well, one thing Kendra and I did to really smooth out those years is we did Tim Tebow role plays, and we just just affirmed each other. Oh, you're so special. You're just so beautiful and wonderful and intelligent. There's a purpose and a plan.
Oh, gosh.
That was before the Dallas Cowgirl role play. There was like a
sequence
you gotta to build it.
Yes. All right. Well, my computer battery is gonna die soon.
Roll Tide. So. Let's do it.
Honeybee.